Good. Okay, well, my name's Janelle, and this morning we're going to continue our study in the book of Genesis. I want to start by telling you something that happened a few years ago. A few years ago, I had an experience that some people would describe as like an out-of-body experience, where time froze, everything stopped, and I found myself on the outside looking in at the life that I had built. And what I found looking in is that the life that I had built was filled with endless busyness, whose personal passions were carelessly thrown on the back shelf, left to collect dust for who knows how long. A person whose hair was always half in a bun and half falling out of that bun everywhere they went. A person who was clueless about what they looked like because honestly, they were too busy to stop and even check the mirror before leaving the house. I saw someone who made sure that the people around them were well cared for, but did little to look after their own needs. I saw someone who fell short in those efforts too, as they regularly lost their temper at the people who mattered to them most. I looked at this life that I had built and realized this was not the life that I wanted. And worse yet, in this moment, time resumed at the quick pace that it started. And despite my heartbreaking revelation, I had to get back to work. In an instant, I became aware of how broken my life was, and worse yet, and unfortunately for me, I was far too busy to fix it. Has anyone ever had a moment like that? Or maybe not that exact moment, but a time where they realized they were exhausted and they couldn't remember a time when they were not exhausted. Maybe it's from work or from kids or from school. We live in a culture of busy. And I think God showed me what I saw that day, a reality check. You know, and I think because my life blended so seamlessly with the culture and the world around us, it took me a long time to recognize that I was not okay. And in that moment, I felt so helpless because, as I said, I realized that this was not what I wanted, but I also felt powerless to fix it. You know, in my life, it feels like there's a lot of people depending on me. A lot of people and a lot of things are depending on me to do my work and to do my work well, because if I don't, then it's all going to fall apart. So there was no simple solution that I could see that led to rest. And this is when the Holy Spirit whispered three words to me. Three words that led me to endless learning and discovery and practice. The Holy Spirit whispered, "Remember the Sabbath." Oh, yeah, the Sabbath, right. I forgot about that. Isn't that like an Old Testament thing? Like, we don't really do that. Did you know that the Old Testament has 613 laws and regulations in it? I was in a small group last year where we said, out of the 613 laws and regulations in the Old Testament, how many do you think we as Christians should follow? Should we follow some of them, none of them? Like, which ones do we pick and choose? And when I asked this question, someone immediately responded by saying, "I know how many we should follow, 10. And I laughed because I immediately knew which 10 they were referring to. And I would imagine that this is something we all probably pretty easily agree with, right? The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are good and something that Christians should follow. Yes, we agree? I'm not saying anything too radical by saying that. So we shouldn't steal. We shouldn't lie. We shouldn't commit murder, right? We're on the same page. These are very, amen, thank you. These are all very practical commandments that would make life pretty dangerous and difficult if we as Christians decided they're optional. Tablets froze. Here we go. So I think what's interesting about commandment number 4 is that it says to remember the Sabbath. And I remember when I was a kid, I asked my teacher, "Well, what's the Sabbath? Like, what does that one mean? Like, lie, commit murder. I figured out that. But what does the Sabbath mean?" And they basically told me, "Don't worry about that one." And as a kid, I get it. Like, maybe as a child, they don't need to be worrying about that. But that was a mindset that I carried with me into adulthood. And as I have studied the Sabbath, I found that I always treated the Sabbath as kind of a hassle. something that gets in the way of my plans. And it's something that I have found in my studying that I think it actually might be one of the most loving commands God has ever given us. Because while we live in a culture that does not value rest, we worship a God who says, take a break. Here, lean on my shoulder. I've got this. I've got you. I mean, doesn't that sound nice? That maybe I've been trying to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders, and I don't have to do that anymore. Today's verses are going to be taking us back to the very beginning of where the idea of the Sabbath all began. We've been studying the book of Genesis, and today we're going to be finishing up the creation story. These verses that we're reading today are actually verses that we read quickly last week. So today we're going to be kind of sitting there and unpacking them a little bit more. And starting with Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Don't look at that. You don't know. You don't know until I tell you. Okay, so Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from his work, when he rested from all his work of creation. So this is when the concept of rest is first introduced to the Bible. You know, we think of the Sabbath as an Old Testament concept, but maybe not this old. Like, this is like old, Old Testament. This is the second page of the Bible. I mean, we've hardly said anything yet. But let's look at what the verses say right before the concept of rest appears. It says in verse 1 that everything was completed and God had finished his work of creation. What is another time in the Bible when we hear God declaring his work is finished? Yeah, good job. In John chapter 19, verse 30, it says, while he was on the cross, Jesus declared, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. One of the last things that Jesus says on the cross while dying is that it is finished. In Genesis, God declares that creation is finished and that it is good. So what is Jesus referring to when he says that it is finished? What is finished? The good work, that's right, the good work of Jesus reconciling us to God was finished. It's completed. It's good. Jesus did the work of dying on the cross, of saving us from our sins. It is finished. It is good. And I think that the first thing we need to understand in order to understand the concept of rest and the Sabbath is that God completed the work. Our job is to rest in him. And this is good news. This is good news because this means that it is not and has never been up to us to create and fix the world. God does that. We can rest in his good work. To clarify, that doesn't mean that we don't have a place in working with God and partnering with God to try to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, to help set things right. Of course, we have a place and we have a purpose to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, but it is not dependent on us. It is finished. It was finished before we were even born. In the Ten Commandments, God says to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. He doesn't say to make it holy. In Genesis, he did that. He's asking us to remember and keep what he has already accomplished and created. And this is something I really, really want to emphasize here when we're talking about rest and we're talking about the Sabbath. There is a humility to keeping the Sabbath that gets lost on us a lot of times. And what I mean is that this is not just remembering the Sabbath. What I mean is that remembering the Sabbath is not just having a day off and, hey, cheers to you, God, for saying that's okay. No, it's an acknowledgement. It's an acknowledgement that the good things in my life are a gift from God and not the result of my own accomplishments. What? Yes. Okay, but Janelle, not all the good things in my life are a result from rest or receiving that rest from God. I mean, a lot of times I had to work really hard. Like, I had to work really hard to get a promotion that I got at work. I did that myself and from hard work. Yes, true. But how do we even get the ability to work? The Bible says that every breath we take is a gift from God. Can we study and work hard without our breath? What about our brain that gives us the ability to learn and interact with other people? Did we make that ourselves? Can we study and learn without our brain? It always comes back to God and His gift and His goodness. And when we take a day off and we intentionally remember the Sabbath, we show God and we show the world around us that it is okay for me to take the hands off the steering wheel because I was never the one driving. The car is still going to go in the right place, in the right direction, with my hands off the steering wheel for one day, because we're not the one driving. I can take a deep breath. I can relax and know that it's all going to be okay, not because of the work that I do, but because of the God that I worship. Does that make sense? A few years ago, when I started my journey in understanding the Sabbath, I found myself reading a variety of commentaries and podcasts about the Sabbath, really trying to understand like the culture and the history and all the different ways that the Sabbath is practiced, trying to learn the ways that it might be impactful in my life if I took the time to regularly, weekly, try to remember the Sabbath. And I knew that the Israelites had created an entire list of rules regarding exactly how to keep the Sabbath. Like God says to keep the Sabbath, and the response to that was, okay, well, here's 500 ways in which we do that perfectly. So for example, I know somebody who went to Jerusalem a few years ago, and the hotel that they were staying at, when they went in to go to their room on the day of the Sabbath, the buttons in the elevator could not be pressed. That was considered work. So they had set up the elevator that it automatically went to each floor. So if you're on the top floor, it was really exciting because you just got to see each one, but pressing the button was considered work. And so there are countless details and restrictions and clarifications when it comes to remembering the Sabbath well. And the rules on how to keep the rule began even before Jesus showed up. And so I knew I wasn't really interested in doing all of that. The rules regarding the Sabbath, all of those felt like a bit much to me. And I'm not saying I was judging, but I probably was a little bit. And I remember the first day that I was intentional about trying to keep the Sabbath. So my normal day off from work is on a Monday. And in my studies, I found that people work the day before the Sabbath to make sure everything's done. So on Sunday, the day before my day off, I went around trying to get everything done so I could have like a full, complete Sabbath on Monday. So I was grocery shopping, tidying the house, making my kids' lunches, you know, cleaning the bathrooms, basically doing anything work-related that you might find me doing on a day off. And my husband saw me on a Sunday night, like working and running around and sweating. And he goes, "You are exhausted. You are clearly exhausted from all of this. You need to stop working. You need to rest." And I'm like, "I'm doing this so I can rest." And I said, "Besides, this is what Jewish people do. They work a lot the day before so they can have a Sabbath the next day." And my husband responded by telling me I wasn't Jewish. And I said, "That's not the point." So Monday comes along, I'm about an hour into my first official Sabbath, and I am bored out of my mind. I'm like wandering around, feel like I'm hitting my head against the wall. So I'm kind of looking outside, and I'm like, well, I guess I can go walk around in my backyard for a little bit. That'll pass some time. So I kind of walk out to the backyard, and I see our swimming pool. And the pool is really low in water, like the water had been down. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm back here. I'll go ahead and fill this up. And so I go over to the hose. You see where this is going. I go over to the hose, and I go over to the spigot, and I go to reach down, and I go, wait, is this work? Is filling up this pool kind of work? Am I not honoring the Sabbath if I do this? So I sit there, and I pause, and as strange as it sounds, I could feel God smiling. And I smiled too. First of all, I realized how all those rules came into place. Like, I get it. You know, I get the jump there. But I also realized that that I may have misunderstood the Sabbath. The good news is that I'm not the only one. So let's read in Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. This is an experience that Jesus had regarding the Sabbath. It says, "One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, 'Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?' Jesus said to them, 'Haven't you ever read in the scriptures?'" First of all, I love when Jesus says that to the Pharisees because they have it memorized. And so it's very insulting. Like, "Haven't you read it?" And they're like, "Of course we've read it." Okay. So Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest, and he broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them," this is the important part, "the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." The Sabbath is created for us, and it's about the heart. I have found that in trying to understand the heart of the Sabbath, that what is restful for me might not look like what is restful to the people around me, and that's okay. As crazy as it sounds, rest for me might involve organizing a closet. It might involve baking a 3-layer cake. It might involve a day with my kids. It might involve not being around my kids. I found rest. My dad said amen. What does that mean? I find rest in those spaces, and it's okay if those things might sound exhausting to you. It's my Sabbath. It's not exactly important how we rest, but what's important is that we rest. This is because God's invitation to rest is divine and biblical. You know, we live in a culture where our value is based on what we can produce, and time off is treated with suspicion. There can be a real fear of being perceived as lazy if we're taking any time off. But even though we live in a culture of constant busyness, we must remember that we worship a God who holds out his hand and invites us to rest. It's easy to remember that the birds in the sky, that the people around us, that wildflowers and forests are godly creations. But it's easy to forget that rest is also listed as a godly creation. The Bible says that it is holy and good. And this is great news. We have a God who sees us, who loves us, and who knows what's best for us. And that our desire for rest is not lazy. Our desire for rest is not us getting sidetracked from what he has called us to do. Our desire for rest is divine. There's one more aspect to rest that I want to point out this morning. And first, I want us to look at a quick review of the creation story, of what we've learned so far. I don't know if you can see this. But it's basically, we've got day one was time, and then it says, "And evening passed and morning came, making the first day. Day two was sky, space, evening passed, morning came, making the second day. Day three, dry land from water, evening passed, morning came, marking the third day." We're seeing the pattern a little bit. Day four, sun and moon to track time, evening passed and morning came, marking the fourth day. Day five, birds and fish, evening passed and morning came, marking the fifth day. Day six, animals, humans, and God's image to rule, and evening passed and morning came, making the sixth day. Okay, let's keep this in mind while we read verses 1 through 4. We've read 1 through 3 already. We're going to add the fourth one. "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. This is the account of the creation of the heavens and earth." So based on our review from the first 6 days of creation, do we notice anything missing in the pattern? It's missing the statement showing the end of the day. Why do we think the end of the day is missing on this one and not the others? Do you think they weren't paying attention? Do you think maybe they started a pattern and forgot? That's what I would do. What can we learn from a seventh day that is listed as not ending? Let's read one more thing. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29, let's see what Jesus says about rest. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I remember this was a verse of the day for me during a particularly busy season of my life. I knew that rest was good. I knew that I wanted it. But it was at a time where realistically, like, that just was not going to happen. I had a lot of work to get done. My children were sick and they needed me to help care for them. So it was many days in a row of just from the second I woke up to the second I went to bed of just being needed for work and for things around me. And it was during this time that this was my verse of the day, and I read it and I thought, yeah, right. You know, at what point of scrubbing vomit out of the carpet am I supposed to be receiving this so-called rest that's promised to me? You know, I have heavy burdens and I need rest, and I'm looking around me thinking, where am I going to find this time off? We all have these moments probably at one point or another. And I think it's important for us to remember that rest in God is not just about time off that we try to get once a week or in little spaces throughout the week. The Sabbath is not only for one day a week. The Sabbath is never ending and forever. And what I mean by this is that there is a bigger rest we enjoy with our relationship with God that transcends the busyness of this world, that transcends whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. A rest in the belief that God is in charge and He's got this. A rest in the belief that it is finished. And because of Jesus' sacrifice, I am reconciled to God. A rest that I don't have to search this world to make me whole. I can rest and relax in the knowledge that I have all that I need in God. This is the bigger idea behind the rest that Jesus offers, and the bigger idea behind the rest without end that is created on the seventh day. There is something greater that does not depend on my current circumstances to be just so in order to receive rest. Don't get me wrong. Having a day off is good and holy and divine. But the rest that is offered from God and the Bible is permission for a day off, and it is also more than that. It's a day off with benefits. Because as Christians, we can rest and the good news that that Jesus loves us. And on our busiest days and in the most troubling of circumstances, we can rest in the good ending that we have been promised. We can rest in who we are. We are children of the King, and we have nothing to prove to this world. We have nothing to prove to this world in terms of our value and of our importance. Jesus proved our value a long time ago. Jesus proved our value on the cross. It is finished. It is good. So as we leave here today, let's remember the gift of rest that has been offered to each and every one of us. Let's remember that if we are able to take a day off, that's a good thing. Taking a day off does not make us lazy or change our value. Taking a day off is holy and divine and biblical. Rest is a part of God's creation, and it is good. Let's remember the opportunity for humility in the Sabbath. Let's be intentional about giving God the credit for the good things that we have in life. And let's rest in His ability to provide for our needs. let's also remember that the Sabbath was created to meet our needs, and we don't have to live under the burden of trying to follow it perfectly. We can be flexible in how we find rest. And finally, let's remember that the Sabbath is not only for one day a week or for people in the Old Testament. The Sabbath is ongoing and forever. No matter our circumstances, no matter the season of life we find ourselves in, there is a bigger rest that we are also invited to enjoy. A rest in who God is and what He has done for us. A rest in knowing who we are, and that we don't have to exhaust ourselves trying to prove our value to the people around us. Jesus proved our value on the cross long before we were born. Right on? All right, let's pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you so much for creating us and knowing what's best for us. So we sit here as people ready to rest in your promises. We find comfort and peace in the promises you have given us. We thank you for inviting us to remember the Sabbath. Help guide us as we do so. Holy Spirit, we need your help even in resting. And so we ask for you to meet us there. And that when we rest, we can take, when we find the opportunities to rest, we can step confidently in those opportunities, knowing that that is not something we have to hide from you, but it is a gift from you that we can enjoy with you. We can relax with you on those days. God, we give you our whole life. We just ask for your help. We ask for your blessing as we do our best to live this out. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, we spoke to the dark, fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of the breath the planets form. The stars were made to worship so alive. I could see your heart and everything you've made. Every burning star, signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. Once you have spoken, nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath. evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. I could see your heart in everything you make. Every painted sky, canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. So will I. If the stars are made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so in love. For if everything exists to lift you high, so alive. And if the wind goes where you send it, so alive. If the rocks cry out in silence, so if the sum of all our praises still falls short, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. Down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. When you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart and everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart a billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Rest in your creation, so will I. We thank you for always setting the example for us. You are the one we follow. You are the one we want to copy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. we're going to speak a blessing together. If you would like prayer for anything, or you've been here before and we haven't met and you want to meet or whatever, I'll be up here. We'll have other people up here to help with prayer as well. So let's speak this together before we head out. May Christ be a light to illumine and guide you. Christ be a shield to overshadow you. Christ be under you. Christ be over you. Christ beside you. On your left and on your right, both in this world and the one to come. Go in peace, children of God.